Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Tuning the Bow. My name is Matthew Wilbanks, and I'm here with my good friend Tim Rose. And Tim, you are just a busy man.
Some days, as I'm sure you are.
But yeah.
It's funny. I feel like in a youth ministry calendar, no matter what way you slice it, you're going to get busy.
Mm-hmm.
And for the past few years, we've done our big golf tournament for raising money for camp and mission trips and things like that. We've done that in June, right around Father's Day. Which always meant that it was pretty close to either a mission trip or a camp, and it just felt like it was a ton to get done.
Yep.
But this year we decided to move it up because the weekend we would normally do it, we're going to be gone.
And so now it's 2 weeks after Easter. Which means that I'm in the midst of trying to call people to come to one of our Friday Easter services. We're working with some college groups, getting them here. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also trying to call people to get money for the golf tournament.
Good grief.
So, you know, it is just – it has been a series of making calls and then, you know, not to be upset about people graciously giving, because by all means we're not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some people, when you call and ask them to give, they say, yeah, sure, I'll mail that check in, no problem. And others say, yeah, can you come pick it up? And, I mean, It's legitimately free money for your students sitting there.
Yep.
But you're like, yeah, I guess so. So we've been doing that on top of I'm trying to get all of my wife's business's tax items done. Which I think it would be easier to be bludgeoned to death by a array of small needles than do the taxes for this business. But we digress. For those who might be freaking out going, Tim, that's pretty late to be doing taxes. We're getting them done this week. So
I am still saving money because I know I am going to owe on my taxes. So I am waiting as late as I possibly can, pretty much, before I pay.
Yeah, we're going to owe money, too. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking forward to it.
Yep.
It is what it is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just a quick little update. Since we haven't released an episode since spring break, which you all know the reason why. It's not my fault.
True.
I finished my paper and I got all that work done. And then last week I did a lot of fun stuff, even though I was still going to class and still going into the office. And I'm like, I can't even take a break properly. I normally don't do like the work week and school week properly either, considering there are times where I really do slack off every once in a while. But this time I'm just like, I'm going to do spring break the week after spring break. And it was great. I went and saw a very bad U.S. soccer team, national team play a very injured Jamaica national team, and somehow the U.S. won. And it was a lot of fun. And then even last night, they beat Mexico, and it was a much better game to watch, though I did not pay $100 to go watch that game. I only paid $50.
Oh, you went to multiple?
No. I just went to one on Thursday. Me and a buddy went, and our tickets were $47 each, which I was like, that's actually pretty good tickets for Jerry World.
True.
Yep. And then I watched the game last night on my phone while I was doing other work, and I just kind of had that. I would glance over at it every now and then, and it was a much better game. But we are not here to talk about our busy schedules or the things we like to do in our free time. We are here to talk about something we have surprisingly not addressed yet. And as you might know, this coming Sunday is Easter, and this Friday is Good Friday. And we've talked about almost every other holiday except for Easter. And so when we were trying to figure out what we're going to do, that's what we were just like, I can't believe we haven't done this. So, Tim, when you think of Easter, what normally comes to mind?
Yeah, I mean, it, for me, what always comes to mind was, you know, getting together with family. Like it always felt growing up like Easter, even though I knew the holiday was probably more important, the story of the holiday was more important. Mm-hmm. It always felt like the, you know, the stepbrother to Christmas. Because like Christmas, you get like the whole month, but then Easter, it just kind of like shows up. And I remember as a kid wondering, like, it always felt like it depended on what happened with Punxsutawney Phil as to when the Easter was going to be. Because it always is around spring.
That's the groundhog.
Yes. By the
way, for Groundhog's Day.
Yes. So I don't know. I will say, Matt, on this topic, Mary and I were at church Sunday morning.
That's good.
Yes, yes, yes. On Palm Sunday. And we both got a Ring doorbell notification, and there was someone at our door, and it was somebody passing out like flyers, you know, and hanging them on your door or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, that's, you know, weird, whatever, move on, get back to church.
Yep.
So it was a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm.
I don't know what all Jehovah's Witnesses do. Lord help me, I don't even want to try.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what they celebrated Easter?
No.
It was a memorial of Jesus' death. Because if I'm not mistaken, they have an issue with the resurrection.
Huh.
And I sat there and thought, what kind of loser holiday is this then for you?
For real.
If you like, our pastor's in 1 Corinthians 15, which is an excellent spot to be in for Easter. Mm-hmm. Because 1 Corinthians 15 is a long drawn out argument which says effectively this. The resurrection is the reason you and I are in church.
Mm-hmm.
It is everything. Why? Because Christ's life, his birth, they're great. That's Christmas. That's 33 years.
Yep.
Birth and life of Christ are great. But you and I are not in church because a baby was born.
Mm-hmm.
I could actually make good argument that you and I wouldn't be in church even if a child was born in the way that Jesus was born.
Hmm.
We probably just wouldn't believe it, but that's not praiseworthy.
Yeah.
You and I are in church for effectively one reason and one reason only, because of one thing, and that is what we celebrate at Easter, which is the empty tomb.
Mm-hmm.
The empty tomb is the pure, perfect image of God's power and his goodness. It is the perfect picture that not only is Jesus fully man, but he has beat sin, death, and the devil. And so I think oftentimes, Matt, to get back to your original question, we think of Easter and we think of wearing weird pastel colors.
Yeah.
Which is great for me because I'm a man who likes a fishing shirt, and these always work at this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's wearing pastels. It's the Easter bunny who lays eggs.
Yep.
And I still don't know how that works.
It just does. It just uh-huh. works.
And I think that's the normal. And then, like, some people do family get-togethers there. But, Matt, what are your thoughts when you think of Easter?
Yeah, when I think of Easter, I'm always reminded when I was little, every morning of a holiday during the year, like whether it be Valentine's, St. Patrick's Day, Easter, when we would get up and go to the breakfast table, my mom would have little candies for whatever holiday it was, each at our spot at the kitchen table. And I remember that. We rarely ever bought new clothes. We just wore the same, you know, nice, very bright colored shirts and pants and everything. And we would go and we would sit in church and we would hear about the resurrection of Jesus and all that good stuff. But apart from that, like, it wasn't kind of like you said before, it wasn't like there wasn't any buildup. There wasn't any just amazing moment of reflection. And that was also partly because the reflection always came from when we took the Lord's Supper, which I think my mom and my stepdad did a very good job of teaching me the significance of the Lord's Supper. But when it came to Easter was, you know, we celebrate the risen King. And what we did do, we started to do, you remember the thing called the resurrection eggs?
Yep, I sure do.
Yeah, we did that. Each little egg, we would do a little scavenger hunt of eggs in our backyard, and we'd find them, and then we would sit down and we would go through the story of Jesus, last week, before his death and then his resurrection, and we would go through that, and my stepdad would explain the story, and all that to us, and so it was always, you know, we always did something special. But the day itself wasn't as spectacular as Christmas, and that was partially because our church never made it to appear that way. The only sort of preparation my church growing up did was add more chairs to the sanctuary. That was about it.
I will say, as a staff member now, Easter, it shouldn't be this way. But I almost get, I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to say I dread it, because I don't. Mm-hmm. But there are elements of Easter that are just quite taxing. Yes. We do a lot of things. Like, we do a giant cross service on Friday night, which is great. Mm-hmm. But then I think, to me, and Matt, you might be able to sympathize with this. You may not. I think for me, one of the most taxing parts of Easter is going around the church and having conversations with people you see every week is fine, but having conversations with people who will simultaneously not know general specifics of the church, mm-hmm. and also claim that they always come there.
Yeah.
And you can have been on staff and go, I've never seen you in my life.
Yep.
There's something funny about, you know, marginal believers who mm-hmm. show up on Christmas and Easter. They're like, well, this is my church home. And last time I was here, you know, the pastor was a guy named Ernest. And I'm like, well, Byron's been here for 22 years.
Right.
So I think that maybe you haven't been back to church in a while.
Mm-hmm.
No, I come here basically every week. Oh, okay. All right. But that's just a staff concern. Matt,
yep.
Would you mind telling our parent what they should look at with Easter and what sort of maybe traditions or things like that they should begin to establish with their own kids?
Yeah. The thing we need to do first is we need to establish to our kids why Easter is greater than Christmas.
Yep.
That is an issue that my family, my parents, they did a good job with for the most part. But what you're doing essentially is you're fighting against the culture. The culture is, you know, Easter bunnies, the bunnies that lay eggs, which again, totally real and legit. You're fighting against a culture that says, oh, Easter Sunday, brunch. And most of the time brunch happens, it's around, you know, 10, 11 a.m.
Is that what people eat on Easter?
Apparently that's what I've heard people do. And I'm like, that's when church is.
You're a pastor without telling me you're a pastor. What do people eat on Easter? When do they eat?
When do people eat? It's just another Sunday at 12. No, actually, that's a lie. Anywhere between 12:30 and 1 o'clock is when I eat lunch on Sundays.
Yep.
But it's your what parents, what you're doing, and what your pretty much biggest opponent is the culture around you, saying these are Easter traditions you should do, you should have, and that's always a difficult battle. Because especially when it comes to Christmas, like, you are fighting against, you know, Black Friday deals. You're fighting against The pressures of getting good gifts and having amazing decorations. There's one side of it, but then there's also that sacred part of Christmas that is underlying it, to where when I was in Japan over Christmas in December, this past December, I was walking through a little 100 yen store, which is pretty much like a dollar store, and they were playing English Christmas hymns. And I'm just like, no matter where you are in the world, there is a sacred part of Christmas.
Yeah.
Easter is very different, because Easter is harder for people to accept. It's mainly just think of it this way. You're going against a very high tech culture, and you're telling them, yeah, a man was resurrected. He was brought back to life after being dead for pretty much 2 days. He rose on the third day, but he was pretty much dead for 2 days, and there was no resuscitation. There were no doctors. He just got up out of his tomb and left. Like, out of all the things Christians believe, that one might be the craziest to most people.
Yep.
Because it requires one word: faith. It requires faith and trust that is what happened. And so the obstacles you come up against is a lot of culture that's just saying, you don't have to do that. You can still celebrate Easter, but you don't have to have all that weird stuff in it. And so that's the first thing you need to do, is you need to fight against the culture and what the culture thinks about this holiday. The second thing you need to do is you need to sometimes fight against how your church celebrates Easter. Because let's be honest, Tim, you've mentioned it before, but some churches make a bigger deal out of Palm Sunday than actual Easter.
Yep.
And it's just like, all Jesus did on Palm Sunday was ride into town on a donkey.
And there's great case to say that those who were in worship during Palm Sunday, many were just caught up in the moment, as is evidenced by their actions during the Holy Week. Matt, do you mind if I get on a slight soapbox?
You've got only a limited amount of time, though.
Yeah, but it's going to be difficult for me to not do it.
Go ahead.
I think one of the best things on a very practical level that you can do for your kids as parents is make more out of the Passion Week than you do Palm Sunday.
Mm.
And frankly, the more you make out of the Passion Week, the better your Easter will be.
Mm.
When you walk through what all Christ did, when you walk through what that week looked like, and when you get to Saturday and there is utter silence,
mm-hmm.
The world is as it had never been in 33 years. You sit there and Sunday morning becomes different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church that you and I served at, Matt, I thought it was cheesy, probably was cheesy. But as you know, I'm a guy, I don't have a big brain, but I like to think.
Mm-hmm.
But on the end of like the Good Friday service, we would like close the doors to the auditorium.
Yep.
To symbolize the rolling of the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've looked at Easter and you know, walked through it numerous times now as a staff person and stuff like that, the more you can let yourself sit on Saturday and say, 2,000 years ago, there was a day in which Jesus was no longer living on earth.
Yep.
In which sin, death, and the devil seem to have had victory.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can sit in that for a moment, then you hit Easter Sunday, and that 1 Corinthians 15, the very end of that passage, where it says, "Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting?" That becomes far more real. If you will walk your kids through what happened Easter week, what happened Passion Week, then you realize not only did your Lord suffer, But it was not just a, it wasn't a, oh, they threw him on a cross. Walk through his account of being not only arrested, but tortured. Think about the fact that he's sitting up there in the upper room with his disciples. And we always like to say, oh, and he ate with Judas too, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just think about the fact that he was sitting there with the disciples and they're all going to run.
Yep.
Forget the Judas part. Stop trying to make yourself Judas. Just notice that our Lord, it like a groom on his wedding day, there is a certain point in which you're out there and you've got to be the one to do it. And our Lord was out there and was the only one to do it and stood by himself. Mm-hmm. And he stood by himself because he wanted his bride, and his bride is us. And he said, I want them so bad that I'll do whatever I have to do. The 7 years of the Old Testament of working for a wife, he said, no, 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 I'll do far worse than that. For my bride, I will give my entire life. Yep. I will let my father turn his back on me. Yes, I agree. I think at times we overblow Easter, and I think we foolishly do so without any thought of, man, what did that week look like?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Passion Week was a week of suffering.
Mm.
I feel like Passion Week is one of those things that you scratch and then you look and you go, oh wait, there's still more to scratch, because you can scratch his surface for a while, but just remember that the entire Passion Week, Jesus knows what's going to happen.
Yep.
When we watch it in movie form, like, we know what's going to happen, but we almost get this sense of, well, he didn't really know. No, he knew. He knew Judas was a traitor. He knew Peter was a loudmouth and a traitor. That he wouldn't, yes, betray him to the government, but he would betray him when it mattered the most. He knew that Pontius Pilate was a weak, weak leader.
Yep.
Who would much rather make a few people happy than take a stand for what he knew was right. He knew that he would be next to two criminals. He knew who those criminals were. He knew that one of them would repent and the other would make fun of him. He knew that his beard would be ripped out. He knew that he would have to carry his own cross. He knew that he would be flogged. He knew all of it was going to happen. And to make point of Palm Sunday, he still walked in the city.
Yep.
I was talking with another staff member today, and I said the phrase, which is a phrase that I would generally agree with and pass on to everyone, there's no reason to walk into a war zone if you don't have to. The Passion Week is Jesus walking in the middle of the war, knowing exactly what he's doing and doing it anyway.
Yep.
And our appreciation for the cross and our appreciation for the risen tomb will be directly correlated with our understanding of what he went through.
Yeah.
But Matt, go on. Now I'm off my soapbox. We're good.
but it's an important thing to recognize the significance of the Passion Week, his final week before he died. Like, there's so much that is recorded, especially in the last few days leading up to his death. You can find lots of guides that are like, he did this on this day, this on this day, this on this day, and you can walk through those. But what I would suggest to do is to sit down with your family, especially if you have older kids, and just have a discussion. Why did Jesus die? Because that's literally what we're celebrating, is the death of someone. Like, there aren't many times, like, of course, you know, a lot of funerals are called the celebration of life, but it seems weird to the world that we are all in for this random teacher who started a pretty big movement, and the Roman government didn't like it, so they killed him. That's what it seems like to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And you have to explain what the purpose is. And now, this has been a point of conviction in my life, is I heard it once. I don't remember who said it, when I heard it, but it was something along the lines of, when we are tempted to sin, we have to remember what Jesus suffered on the cross, or we will fall into temptation. Like, Jesus didn't just go through all of this, get a slap on the wrist, and then he was, you know, somehow sedated for a couple days, and then he, you know, the whatever drug wore off, and he finally got up, or the, you know, he went through all this for no reason, and then the disciples came in and stole his body. Like, as Tim, as you said, Jesus went through all of this knowing the purpose, knowing the reason, and knowing the pain. And when we are in moments of temptation, and when we are in moments of compromise, like this, it's a daily struggle for me to not compromise on things. And Tim, I know it is a daily struggle for you too, because how easy would it be to just kind of slide back a little bit? Or in those mornings where it's just like, you know, maybe I should stay in bed for just a little while longer, scrolling through my phone. And then I look at the time and it's been, you know, half an hour, and I only have like 15 minutes to take a shower, get dressed, refill my water bottle, and then get out of the door. In these moments of temptation, these moments of compromise, something that helps me and something that I pray would help you is to think about what Christ endured, and think, is this little moment of gratification worth putting Christ on the cross, pretty much?
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to do is we need to have these conversations with especially our older kids. We're getting close to May and June, which is graduation time. I will be finishing my studies at Southwestern Seminary finally. It's been way too long. but in these moments of moving forward, it's good that we have moments to celebrate. And, you know, just another refresher, you know, it's good to celebrate amazing accomplishments like the Texas Rangers being the 2023 World Series champions.
Opening days this week.
Opening days is, I'm ready.
Celebrate Jesus with baseball.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. Do we celebrate victory and accomplishment in the same way we celebrate Christ's absolute decimation of sin and death through his life, death, and resurrection? And the answer is no. Why? Because it's very far removed from us, and pretty much it's through stories on a page. And so, parents, what you need to consider is making Easter real for your kids. Walking through, why is it that Christ had to die? Why is it that he endured all of that pain and suffering? Why did he fill in the blank? Like, why did he even, you know, why was he even born? What did he do for 30 years before he started his public ministry? Like, Jesus isn't just a good teacher. He is God himself. We've referenced it a couple times, but I really love Philippians chapter 2, which, you know what, might as well go ahead and read it since we haven't read a scripture yet in this episode. It's talking about, in the context of living for others, considering others as more important than yourself. And verse 4, everyone should not only look out for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Because, why? Verse 5, adopt this same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God to be something exploited or something grasped. He's, as though he is God himself, God didn't think, well, I can be fully understood by people, so I'm just going to stay like this. No, he understood that we cannot understand him. And so what did he do? Though he existed in the form of God, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of a little bit of suffering, or to the point of a little bit of chastisement. Oof. No. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the worst possible way you could have died in that day and time, death on a cross. And it is for this reason that God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, which is why we are Christians. We are little Christs. This is why we are disciples of Jesus. And we are not disciples of Yahweh or followers of Yahweh. It is because what Jesus did, God the Father, the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, elevated Christ to be the greatest thing on all the earth because of what he did in his life, his death, and his resurrection, so that, verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, one thing I want to do is I want to ask this question and then I'll be done. Is that the Jesus you worship? Or is it some other kind of caricature? Yeah. Is that the Jesus you worship, the one who came to this earth, was born of a virgin, who lived a perfect life without sin, taught us what it looks like to follow God, and taught us the example of what God is like, was killed for doing absolutely nothing wrong, and then was resurrected on the third day because he did everything that God the Father wanted him to do? Is that the Jesus you worship? Or is it a caricature that you worship? Something who is not quite the full essence. And that is a question you have to consider yourself, and how you view Easter going forward will be determined by if you worship the risen King Jesus or some other kind of just idea, and not even the real thing.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, ultimately, like A.W. Tozer writes, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I think the way that we think about Christ and the way that we understand Easter greatly impacts the way that we worship him throughout the year. Mm-hmm. You know, if Easter is to you and is to your family just a version of Christmas in which you don't get off a few weeks of school, then I think you minimize who Christ is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's not to say that, I mean, look, there's logical reasons why Christmas may feel like a bigger deal, being the end of the year, school schedules, etc. Mm-hmm. But from purely a worship position, what it tells us about God and what we should then respond to, Easter is not even close.
Yep.
To being as low as Christmas. I think Christmas, it screams the goodness of God, that he would be so personal. But Easter screams the goodness and the greatness of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is the full package. That cross and that empty tomb speak louder than anything else. And they are the reason, as you pointed out, why 2,000 years later, that carpenter who only lived to be in his mid-30s is the most talked about, discussed, and argued about man in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't just a carpenter. He wasn't just some whack job who had a couple passionate followers, and he wasn't just a rebellious leader against Rome. No, it's because on that day, your sin and my sin, and by the way, if we were living there, you and I, much like the people there, would have shouted, crucify him.
Yep.
And then they did. When the world seemed at its absolute most dark. Then there was a morning, and a sweet lady went to a tomb, and the stone was rolled away, and the guards were gone. And then she turned around, and there was a man behind her. And that man said, "This news, go tell everybody. Go get Simon, go get Peter, go get John, bring them here." And from that moment, the 11 scared, pathetic disciples soon became cataclysmic world changers, because they knew what they had seen, they understood what they had heard, and the only thing they could do is say, "Lord, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth."
Yep.
I think we have to have a view of Easter that says something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have brunch if allegedly people have brunch on Easter. You can have brisket if you're in Texas. That's probably what we're going to do. But the first thing that you actually need on Easter is an understanding of Christ and a correct one of that.
Yep.
Matt, you got any last words for us?
Yeah, just be biblical. That's it. Just actually worship Christ. And that will glorify God much more than just having a high attendance on Palm Sunday. But get ready, because Sunday is coming. Though Friday represents a miraculous day for us, it is always a hard time to think about it, but Sunday is on its way, and we are able to celebrate the risen Lord, who is no longer dead, like Jehovah's Witnesses apparently think, but who is living and active, and he is working for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So thank you so much for listening, and we will see y'all in the next one. Bye, everybody. What was that supposed to be?
Sort of a turkey, but I kind of messed it up.
Yeah.